If you're considering adding or replacing the overload springs or load leveling system on your truck, stay tuned for the Road Active Suspension interview in Staying on the Road. And then in Enjoying the RV Life, we're going to talk about micro gardening today while RVing. So Alexis is going to take the lead on that one, so that'll get interesting. And then in the next stop, we're going to visit Cedar Rapids, Ohio, a little hidden gem in the Midwest. And then in Shadows of the Past, the towns that once were, we're going to visit Protovin, Iowa. And then in RV Envy, we're going to talk about sticky books and a new air conditioner that's taken the RV market and overlanding market by storm. This is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer Podcast, your trusted source for tips and insights to embrace the RV lifestyle without worries. So let's talk everything RV today. And this is episode 178. So let's dig right in. And so we have Alexis on the show today.
Hello.
Who's going to just stun us.
I am.
With her insight on Protovin, Iowa.
Yes.
I said it right. I've got the name down finally.
I've actually been there, so this is exciting.
Exactly. So she's going to tell us about her hometown. Mm. Well, maybe not her hometown, but a place she's been before.
Yes.
Or has been before. So here we go with the bad grammar already.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, it's the way it happens sometimes. So, hey, I just want to share one little thing that came up last week in a conversation with a customer. So they bought a brand new RV from a dealership in Missoula. They get it home and the AC doesn't work, nor does the heat. So no heat, no AC. So they call the dealership and the dealership says, oh, you just need a new thermostat. It's probably defective. They had to go get the thermostat from the dealership, take it home and install it. Then the heater worked after that. So the heater's working now, but there's no AC. We're going in the summertime, so it's a little bit of a panic for them. And so they call the dealership up and say, this is what's happening. And said, well, and the dealership tells them, we have no technicians.
And oh,
so,
my.
So this is the husband talking to him. And so the wife's like, what? You know, and so yeah. She calls him back and gets the same response. We have no technicians.
What?
You know, doesn't that seem impossible? A dealership would have no technicians.
Yeah.
So it got me a little curious. So I called and the guy says, well, we have technicians here. And I kind of explained what was going on, not in great detail. I acted more like I was just calling on their behalf, yeah. You know, or someone's behalf. And he's like, I don't know. So I don't know. But it's an interesting thing, though, that the customers walked away with that kind of confusion.
Yeah.
Or with that answer. So
that
it's hard
odd.
To say.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of that dealership thing. We just hear it over and over and over again.
Yes,
so we do. Before you ever buy the RV, oh, and they did have the RV checked out thoroughly before they actually paid for it. Everything worked.
Bye.
So mysteriously it stops working, but that happens,
yeah.
You know. So one other thing we're going to talk about today at the end of the show is how an RV awning can actually block your door and keep you trapped in your RV. So stay to the end to hear what happened in this one case or one scenario. So now let's jump right into enjoying the RV life. So Alexis is going to share with us micro gardening while RVing.
That's right.
So this is going to be very interesting.
Okay.
So let us have it, Alexis.
Here we go. This is for the plant lovers, okay? So picture this. You're parked at a stunning lakeside campground. The sun's setting, and you're tossing fresh basil and cherry tomatoes from your own RV micro garden into a sizzling campfire skillet. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. I mean, I'm all over it.
Cherry tomatoes and basil, right?
Put some bacon in there, too.
Micro gardening is actually a hot trend for RVers, especially those craving homegrown flavor on the road. It's all about herbs. It's about microgreens, even tiny peppers in pots, jars, or hanging baskets. Perfect for cozy rigs. You got fresh, nutritious eats. You save a few bucks, and you feel like a eco warrior.
Eco warrior.
I don't know about that, but you do feel, I think, closer to Earth. All while adding this type of nutrition to your travels, it's actually a really good thing, and you can save money. So that's part of it. Securing pots for the bumpy roads is an important thing to do because you don't want your plants flying all around. Managing water when you're boondocking is also an important thing. And then keeping plants happy through if you're in the desert heat or the mountain cold air, that can be a little tricky. So you do need to know what you're doing before you just jump into this. It is very, it's a very good thing to do, but you do need to do a little research before starting. So starting small can be a good idea with just basil or microgreens. Strap those pots down with bungee cords and use a little spray bottle to water them. Keep it very simple. And before you know it, you'll be whipping up pesto pasta or salad in your RV.
Or something.
Something. But it's a very trendy thing to do. It's very cool. So yeah, just learn about it.
More and more people are doing their own gardening.
They are.
Mm-hmm. So I would think this have to be more for the full-timer, someone probably living in it, or someone who's RVing a lot.
That would be good.
I don't think it's going to be for everybody.
Yes.
You know?
Because it takes time.
And I don't think you have to. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm just going to leave that one. Yeah, okay. It's interesting, though. So it's just another aspect of RVing. So you can incorporate your life into it, you know, so your life isn't closed out.
Exactly.
So micro gardening, you know, it may not be for you. It might be for some, not others. You know, if you do it, it's going to help you save some money.
Yeah.
Which, exactly. You know, saving money these days is very important.
It's what we like.
You know, so this episode, I'm trying to think here. So some of the tariffs have already kicked in, these supposed tariffs that are going to wipe out the world. So we're seeing some price increases right now. So we're actually in, I don't know, what month are we in? May?
Yes, we are.
So this episode will be out June something or other, June 6th, I think. We'll see that, and that helps us or makes us think more about how to save money. Because we still have to buy certain things regardless, whatever's going on in our life. We have to buy certain things. It brings us to our money-saving tip. So when it comes to the RV life, there's little things we can do to help us save money. And sometimes we can actually boost up our safety as well. So we can save a little cash, make our RV travels a little bit safer. And when things are safe and we're saving money, it brings us some peace of mind. And so what we're going to talk about is tire pressure monitoring systems today for tires. You know, everybody's heard of them. Well, I think so. A lot of people have. Maybe some haven't. I don't know. It's like in that Geico commercial, if you're living under a rock, maybe you haven't. But tire pressure monitoring systems, they can help you keep track of what's going on in your tires to help you avoid a blowout, keeping your pressure at the highest level possible, which is normal for a trailer. If your trailer tires call for a maximum pressure of, let's say, 80 PSI, that's where you keep it. You don't try to lower it to make the ride softer, and you keep it at the highest pressure possible. And there's some reasons for that. You know, it's a tire thing for trailer tires because the sidewalls have so much load on them that they need that. But, you know, when you have a blowout, it's not just the tire that blows out. You know, that can be a couple hundred bucks for a tire itself. But it's all the other damage. And that's where we've talked about the RV Defender before as well. We'll put a link to RV Defender in the description of this podcast so you can see what I'm talking about. But when you have a tire pressure monitoring system, you can kind of see that. If your tire pressure is dropping while you're driving, if the heat's rising, uh-oh, I got a problem. So you're going to pull over and address that problem. And when you're keeping them pressured up, or you're monitoring the pressure, it's going to reduce the wear and tear because you have a better idea when the pressure's dropping, if it's low. You know, before you set out on a trip, maybe you just didn't have time to air up the tires, but you have a tire pressure monitoring system that's going to be looking at you in the face saying, hey, you need to do something. So it might be that reminder. Then you're also going to save money by not wearing out tires prematurely, you know, because they do add up. And also, when they're aired up properly, the way they should be, you're going to have less wear and or less drag as you're driving down the road or rolling resistance. And so that's going to help you get better fuel economy, which that you would carry over to your vehicle. If you're using a truck to tow your trailer or if it's a motorhome, keeping those tires aired up properly will give you better fuel economy. So that'll save you some money as well. It might not be like tons of money all at once, but over time, if you travel a lot, especially in the summer, you're going to save some cash, which helps.
Absolutely. You
know, and all of these tire pressure monitoring systems are very do-it-yourselfer friendly. You don't have to be a genius to install them. And then most of them have apps that you can monitor it on a smartphone, or they'll have a monitor that'll sit on the dash. I kind of like the monitor on the dash thing because it's right in front of you. One less hobby you have on your phone. And, you know, some of these apps don't work that well. They don't refresh quick enough, so it can be kind of a hassle. But that's a simple upgrade. And unfortunately, you're going to be looking at several hundred dollars to get a decent one. But over the long haul, it might save you thousands, depending on what happens with your tires. And if you're looking for a brand that you want to just buy and know you can trust it, TST Tire Pressure Monitors is a good brand. That's what we sell in our store. That's what we recommend. So we'll have more on this on our website, thesmartrver.com. So this will be under money-saving tips, and you'll be able to read all the article with a couple links as well to some different brands. Now, in staying on the road today, it's not going to be just me yakking. We're actually going to have an interview with Road Active Suspension, with Nolan from Road Active Suspension. And Road Active Suspension is a, as I mentioned, it can replace your leveling system in your truck, or if you're looking to upgrade. This system is absolutely amazing. I put it on my truck, and that's kind of what tuned me into this. They've been around since the 90s. I haven't heard of them until recently. It's like, man, what have I missed all these years? We're going to start that interview, and then you guys can take what you get from it, and there'll also be a link to Road Active Suspension's website in the description of the podcast as well. All right, so let's check out that interview.
We have Nolan Mass from Road Active Suspension here today. We're going to talk about suspension upgrades for pickup trucks, primarily pickup trucks, but it works on vans and some other vehicles. And it's for the rear, so it's going to replace products like Firestone or Timbren, things like that. Or if you don't have anything, this might be the upgrade that your truck will need to tow, just to have a better stance, drivability. It's an awesome product. And what brought me to this was a customer of ours told me about it, and I got curious and called up Road Active Suspension, talked to Sean there. He convinced me I have to have it on my truck, and I was looking at replacing my Firestone airbags, but I went with Road Active, and man, what a difference. This product changed how I felt about the truck, and they had a video that kind of showed that too, and I didn't really think the video was accurate. I'm thinking, nah, these guys are full of it. Well, it turns out they're not. This product is absolutely unbelievable. It changed the way I felt about my truck and how it drove. So I had to talk to him and get him on here because I got to share this with everybody. Everybody needs to know about Road Active Suspension. That's how I feel about it. So, Nolan, I'm glad you could make it today. We have a nice conversation here. So welcome to the Smart RVer podcast.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And also love that you love our product. That makes us really happy.
Well, that's good. It's a great product. So, you know, as I was installing it, I really thought this is going on too easy. Very simple installation. You know, I watched the video and it just like, nah, it can't be that easy. It really is. So that's what's cool about it. It's a do-it-yourselfer type installation. It doesn't have to be done at a shop, so anybody could do this. Maybe your grandma even, I don't know, depending on her age and shape. But that's what's so cool, is it's such an easy installation, and there's no cables to run, no wires to run. Just tighten up those springs, and you brought them little, or put them little disc in the kit to make it accurate. So that is really nice. So, Nolan, how long have you been with Road Active Suspension?
Yeah, Eric. So I started with Road Active Suspension in 2010. My initial position was an account manager. So I really got to talk with, so many of the customers and pickup owners out there that were experiencing, the problems that you experience a lot of the RVers and, travel trailer owners, you know, experience and when they hook up their trailer, which is, you know, the initial, visual, cue they see is, you know, the squat. So I get to, you know, talk with a lot of folks about that. I got to talk with a lot of, RV dealers, trailer sales places, hitch installers, 4x4 shops that, you know, were in the industry, sold other products, rear suspension upgrades, you know, obviously not limited to that, but so it really gave me a good basis for what I do today. In 2018, 2019, I transitioned over to, the marketing just to really bring a lot of the stories of customers that we were speaking with and just really, you know, satisfied, happy customers that we were speaking with. So, you know, bringing their stories to more pickup owners like Eric and like your audience. So it was just a joy being able to bring, you know, a product that actually works and does what it says to the pickup owners and that need that additional support and are having issues, you know, with drivability and need that additional safety assist.
Right, awesome. So Nolan has a lot of experience with the company, a lot of experience with the product. So that's great. And you know, what's nice about that is when you have a company, even like when I talked to Sean, he knew the product inside and out, just like you do. You guys know it well. And that's what makes a difference sometimes. And you guys answer your phone. I forgot about that. You guys answer your phone. That's customer service, and that's going away these days. And I like companies that answer their phone. They're becoming my
all
favorite.
All the credit goes to Sean. Sean is one of the best guys here. He's been here since 2012, and he started in the warehouse. So he knows every single bill. He knows every little, the minute detail about every little thing. So if there's a question, if anybody here has a question about anything, he's going to know anything about the product. So him being kind of the lead on the phone, talking to guys like Eric is really valuable to the company. And he's just such an awesome guy.
Yep. Yeah. It makes a big difference. Okay. So now that was the easy question. How long you've been there? I mean, obviously you know that. So let's get into a little more difficult ones. So the first one I have, and this is probably one that I think a lot of people will be wondering about, what makes Road Active Suspension different from other suspension upgrades like airbags, sumo springs, or even Timbrem products?
Yeah. So, I mean, just, you know, right out of the gate, you know, all those products are working. They're essentially resisting the weight at the frame of the vehicle. You know, the bump stop snubbers like a sumo spring or Timbrem, you know, they're obviously manufactured with different materials and what have you, but they're resisting the weight. So, you know, as you hook up your trailer or put, you know, load in the bed of your truck, you know, the frame is going to come down, and with that snubber, it's going to hit the axle of the vehicle. Same with an airbag setup. You know, obviously you can pump air in and out there. With our product, instead of resisting the weight at the frame of the vehicle, our spring is a variable rate tension coil springs. You know, hooks over the rear half of the leaf spring. So when you set the tension on our spring, it works like a muscle to hold the leaf spring in an arch position. There's really an interaction between our tension coil spring and the leaf spring of the suspension itself. And so the outcome and what you feel as the driver is going to be much, much different than a product that's going to resist it. Weight at the frame of the vehicle. And then, so you're going to see obviously some different benefits than some products that are going to, you know, resist the weight at the frame of the vehicle.
Okay. Very good. So yeah, that explains this big difference there. And, you know, you said something about it affects the way the vehicle drives or rides afterwards, which it does. I was very impressed with that. It was so noticeable and it was such a good difference where, like, you put on Firestone airbags, like when I did, there's no change in the way it rode. It just got airbags now. No excitement. Got airbags. All right. So now another question here. How does Road Active Suspension, how does it change the ride quality when the truck is loaded versus unloaded?
Yeah, no, great question. That's one of the most common questions that we get. And that's one of the most common questions that I got when I was speaking to customers every day. You know, the answer is going to vary based on the truck that you have, how worn your leaf springs are, how sensitive you are, how you drive your truck. The answers that we get vary. And if you look at all the reviews, there's a lot of guys that'll say, hey, you know, I installed my kit, love everything about it, partly because it didn't hurt my unloaded ride. I didn't feel a difference in my unloaded ride quality. So that's kind of one end. That's kind of, I guess, worst case. Best case is like, we have customers like Eric that they put it on and they can immediately feel a difference in the way the truck handles. And so it's also going to depend on, you know, how the tension setting that is set. So we've got a range of adjustability on our spring. So if you set it at a lower tension setting, it's not going to output as much suspension strength and I guess stiffness in quotes, to the leaf spring. And when I say stiffness, it's not in a negative way. For example, if you have, if you've got a half ton truck, and you set the tension at the 1 millimeters tension setting, and you don't really drive above the speed limit. You kind of, you know, drive a little bit slower around curves and corners, that kind of thing. And you drive primarily on smooth roads, and your neck of the woods doesn't have rough roads. You may not notice a huge difference in the unloaded ride quality, but when you're towing, that you're going to feel that spring really kick in to provide over and above what you were getting before. The other end is, and the way that for myself and I would say the majority of our customers, that they feel immediately. And again, it also is going to depend on the condition of your leaf spring. If you have another example, if you have an older pickup truck that maybe the leaf springs are a little bit worn. And so, you know, if you have worn leaf springs, you're going to have a lot more kind of wallowy, soft around curves and corners type feeling. And you install our kit, you're going to notice that bigger difference because our spring is engaging with those old leaf springs and really bringing them back to life. So you're going to notice going around curves and corners, going over bumps, potholes, that you'd say the vehicle is going to drive more like a sports car, essentially. And so that's the feeling. It's going to help the truck hug the road much, much better. And so that's the typical experience of pickup truck owners when the vehicle is not loaded. When you're loaded, you're also going to have obviously a much greater degree of improvement, and reducing of squat, obviously better control, because when you're squatting, the front of the nose of the vehicle is going to be up in the air, and you're going to lose some tire contact and some control there. So obviously adding that suspension component and to the existing leaf springs is going to improve the unloaded or the loaded ride quality as well.
Yeah, you know, you said it hugs better like a sports car, and it does. You know, it's hard to imagine a truck feeling that, and that's what I did. That was one of the things. That's how you describe it, hugging the road. It just feels like it's clamping down on the road and like claws. So it's pretty nice. Makes a big difference. You know, so as you're answering questions, you're kind of, you know, covering other things, which is great. So like I was going to talk to you about adjusting it, which you talked about, you got into that. So the adjustment's pretty easy on it, pretty straightforward. But another question that might come up, because, you know, so many products that get put on vehicles need maintenance. You know, they got to be lubricated. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to adjust them from time to time. Is there anything like that with Road Active Suspension that you have to do after you install it?
Yeah, I can actually expound on first the adjustment part, because that is a question that we get a lot. Just kind of expound on that. So we have a range of adjustability. So our kit really is designed to be set it and forget it. So once you find that correct tension setting at the start, you know, you shouldn't have to consistently readjust that. So that's a definite positive. On the maintenance side, I mean, we e-coat everything we can e-coat. There's certain parts that we need a zinc plate. So, you know, we do everything we can to help with corrosion and resistance there. One thing that we recommend, it's always a good idea to use some sort of lubricant, like an Amsoil or something like that, to just spray down everything like, you know, you would otherwise, especially if you live up north where there's a lot of salt in the roadways in the wintertime. Always a good idea to do that. So definitely recommend doing that. But other than that, you know, there's no, as opposed to like an airbag setup where you deal with leaky lines, you know, and that kind of thing, where it can really be a detriment to those lines and the bags. I mean, you don't have to worry about any of that. Everything's mechanical, metal, and it's built to last.
Right. Yeah. No air compressors, no nothing. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So just spraying it down with some metal lube is awesome. And that's pretty simple. You know, just do that and you're done. You know, a lot of this stuff the questions I'm coming from, they're coming from forums, you know, like Tacoma World and things like that, because these are people that have vehicles where like a Tacoma is kind of a sporty truck, you know, so they don't want to put something on there clunky. And so when you think about some of the vehicles that are using these full-size trucks, Tacomas, it's a product that's very universal. It goes across the divides of different vehicles, you know, because a Tacoma driver is definitely different than a Ford F-350 driver. But it works in all those vehicles, and it works, I would say, equally well. Would that be correct?
I would put a caveat on that. Our product is such a great, we really tune the springs, and we feel that we've provided the best product out there for your less than half ton, three quarter ton, and the demands of those. There is some diminishing returns once you get to especially the one ton market. Now we could tune these springs stronger. We are working on some things to be able to offer a more competitive product for the one tons, but on the one ton market, you've got something unique and I mentioned it to you before, is that those one tons, they pretty much all nowadays come with a factory top overload spring. And obviously the spring pack in general, just on a one ton truck, is going to be much, much thicker. So when you apply our heavy duty spring to a thicker leaf spring pack, number one, it's not going to have the same impact on that thicker one ton pack as it would on a half ton truck with maybe two or three leaf springs. And then additionally, those one ton trucks at the factory come with that factory top overload spring. So that factory top overload spring needs to be removed in order to fit our product on top of there. So you're taking a step back in order to install our product from a ride height standpoint, you know, squat standpoint, really isn't going to offer too much on those vehicles. It's going to give you about the same in terms of, you know, reducing squat. What it is going to do for those vehicles is it's going to engage sooner, because that factory top overload spring requires a few inches of squat, about 2 or so inches of squat before hitting a snubber that's connected to the frame. Mm-hmm. And so when all of that is removed, our spring is put on, it's going to engage much sooner than that factory top overload spring was engaging. But then also, in one of the common complaints with folks with factory top overload springs is oftentimes the snubber and the top overload spring bounce off each other. And so they cause a bouncy ride when going over kind of, you know, bridge abutments and kind of rough roads. So you take that out of the equation, add our product. Our product already is going to have a significant impact in reducing bounce and, you know, all of that. So it's going to be huge benefits. There's a lot of pickup owners that will, in those one ton cases, will install our product just for that and helping. It's going to be a bigger impact on stability. So, but the impact is not going to be the same in terms of, you know, reducing squat on a one ton truck. And that's, you know, very oftentimes if you've got a one ton truck and need to reduce squat, we typically, and Sean and the other guys, they'll recommend, they'll say, hey, maybe our product isn't for you. You know, maybe go with a different, suspension upgrade. So I would say for your Tacomas, you know, and we're getting a more and more footprint with your Tacoma, your Overland type guys that have truck bed campers and they're going, you know, in off-road type situations. I mean, remarkable. We're getting some remarkable results. A lot of our growth has been, and our popularity has been from your half ton, three quarter ton guys towing travel trailers, RVs. That's been really our bread and butter and what, you know, I guess we're a great match for. We found out we've been a great match for, but I would say over the last, especially the year, last year or two, we've had more and more Tacoma owners, especially and Overland folks that have begun testing and using our product in those more off-road type situations and adding that additional support with some really, really good results. So, I mean, you know, but those are great applications for our product too.
Yeah, great. Also, you brought up the Tacomas and Overlanding, that type of stuff. Does your product work with trucks, let's say with lift kits, 3-inch lift kits, 6-inch lift kits?
Yeah. So great question. Typically, yes, but we recommend if you've got a lift kit, we recommend reaching out to us first to confirm proper fitment. If you order from a website, there's a very good chance, or if you order anywhere, there's a very good chance that our product is going to fit your vehicle if you've got a lift kit on it. But there are certain lift kits and it's going to vary because there's so many different lift kits out there and packages, you know, different year make models of trucks. It's difficult for us to keep track of every single one and know specifically when a lift kit is mentioned that, hey, yes, is going to work. So our process typically is if you got a lift kit, send us an email and Sean or one of the other people will take a look at it to confirm fitment. We just request pictures typically and we'll work on a customer by customer basis. If we have to, we just want to, you know, we don't want a customer. We want to prevent a customer from ordering the product and figuring out that it doesn't work and then have to like incur restocking fees and things like that. And we just don't want that, any of that to happen.
Right. No, that's good. Yeah. That's one thing I kind of, well, you said it too, that if it's not the right fit, you guys aren't going to recommend it. And Sean seemed to be that way too. It might not work on your truck, but send me some pictures. Let's make sure.
If it does fit on the truck, guys with lift kits are some of the happiest customers because, you know, you get a lift kit on your truck, you got a higher, center of gravity and you get a lot more instability, sway. You also, a lot of those guys experience axle rat wheel hop issues and our product really helps with that. It doesn't typically completely get rid of it, but there's great benefit and improvement in the axle rat wheel hop problems that those guys with lift kits experience.
Yeah. So that's good. So most of them are, you know, my customers aren't going to have lift kits, but some do, you know, different vehicles, different things. So another question is there a heavy duty version versus a medium duty version?
Yeah. So for many years, so the product was originally designed in South Africa for pickup owners that were driving in the bush. And that product, the initial product design was much, much smaller than what we're seeing today. We've built it up and beefed it up so much to better fit the United States market. So we've went through several iterations and spring sizes. So we've got actually right now we've got three different spring sizes. We've got kind of the smallest, which is the original, that we still utilize on some of the older Ford Rangers, S10s, some of the super small vehicles. We've got a standard duty, which we offer for most of your Tacomas, some your newer Ford Rangers, your newer Chevy Colorados and Canyons, And then we offer that also on your, for your half ton trucks. And we have a heavy duty kit, and our heavy duty kit is by far our most popular offering. We came out with a heavy duty kit in 2011. And since we've came out with that heavy duty kit, we first initially offered the heavy duty kit for your 3/4 ton and your 1 ton truck. So your F-250s, F-350s and equivalent. And then in 2017, after testing it at using on those vehicles on the 3/4 1 ton, we started offering it, for the F-150s. So your half ton guys. And since that time, that's really when we've seen the most growth in popularity, is that heavy duty kit is an amazing match for the half ton truck market. So if you're towing or hauling with a half ton or 3/4 ton truck, we have that heavy duty kit's going to be great fit for you.
Okay. So that sounds good. So that explains that. Another question too is, how long do these last? What's the lifespan? Buy it once, forget about it, or every 10 years?
Yeah. The kit is really designed to last as long as you're going to have your truck. I mean, Sean still talks to guys that they've had their truck for 20 years and they're like, I'm finally getting a new truck and I still have it on my old one. Can I put it on my new one? They're built to last for a really long time, as long as you're going to have your truck. I mean, so the lifetime of the vehicle, again, it's a good idea, to help along with it, prolong just like you do everything else under your vehicle. If you're up north or somewhere, we experience, salty air, that kind of thing, to spray down over a few years, and that's pretty
right. So that's good. Unlike so many products today where they don't last a lifetime. Well, I shouldn't say a lifetime, but a long time. And, it's not like in 3 years, you got to buy some parts, have it repaired. You got maintenance. So you put it on, forget about it. There's no software updates. It's pretty simple. You don't have to look at your phone to do anything. You don't have a compressor going bad. So yeah, your product just absolutely makes perfect sense. Put it on, forget about it. So I'm glad I used it. I'm glad you're able to come on today and answer these questions. I mean, I have more questions, but we just don't have the time to go through them all. But I'm going to put all the questions on our website at thesmartrver.com. And also, Road Active Suspension has a very interactive website. Tons of videos, all sorts of stuff happening. I think whatever page you go on, there's things moving and things happening. And of course, you can call me if you have questions. Sean will answer the phone, and he's the man. He knows it all there, right?
Sean is the man. He's the man here too. So.
Yeah. So that's absolutely awesome. So Nolan, I really appreciate you coming by today and sharing these answers to these questions. And I'm sure I'll have more as time goes on. And what I'll do is I'm going to run these by you first before I put them on our website. And maybe you can help me out a little bit, but I think it will clear it up. And if people have any questions, again, they can go to the Road Active website, which all that information will be in the description of this podcast or the video, whichever how you're taking this in. So again, thank you very much. Very helpful information. You guys have a great company as well. And so pat everybody there on the back for us. We really appreciate good products.
Amazing. Thanks for having me, Eric.
All right. My pleasure.
So that was a great interview. We really appreciate Nolan's insight on Road Active Suspension. And so you're going to want to check it out if you're looking to upgrade your suspension in your truck. Like I said, I put it in mine. It was a day and night difference. And, I expressed some of that in the video, so I'm not going to belabor those points. So now that's going to bring us to our next stop, which today I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
Alexis and I have done the old switcheroonie thing here.
Sorry to throw you all off.
Yep. So now we're going to suffer a journey through Cedar Rapids, Ohio with me.
Iowa.
See, that's how bad it's at least it's not Obama, Nebraska, like last time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Cedar Rapids might not be the first place you're going to think of going on an RV trip. It's not something a place that I would think of going to.
Yeah.
In fact, Iowa in general isn't. For whatever reason, we just get these ideas of states and places and kind of run with it. And we, work our life around it. Like, we'll avoid that state, at all costs for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But it really sounds like it is going to be a good place to go for an RV adventure. Now, I've never been there myself, and I'm kind of more inclined to want to go there now.
Good.
After reading this article. Iowa, or Cedar Rapids, it's along the Cedar River, and it's a city known as the City of Five Seasons.
Yeah.
And so the fifth season isn't what you think. There's not another season. But what they say is the fifth season is the time to enjoy all the other seasons like spring, summer, fall, and winter without rushing. So that's what why they call it a fifth season.
Yeah.
You know, so in other words, they're saying, hey, enjoy this place. Mm-hmm. Don't be in a rush to do it. Now, it's not a big, massive city. It only has 135,000 people. That's the population. So it's not huge. It's a manageable city, you know. You can go there and enjoy it. It has all the big city amenities like every city this size anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get over 50,000 people. It seems like they got all these, you know, helicopters bringing these big box stores and stuff, land them and everything, you know.
It's true.
All of a sudden, it looks like every other city with a Red Robin, a Walmart, and a Target, and 800 gas stations. Besides that, it sounds like a cool place. So it's the second largest city in Iowa, if that matters to you. But they have a lot of arts and culture there, and they have a very rich Czech and Slavic heritage.
Yes.
And so those two things in itself, they run through the city, and so that gives everything some flavor there, including the food, which is what we would expect. And then they also have festivals to celebrate the Czech and Slavic heritage. So those types of things can be very easy to go to. Go to a city and enjoy some festivals. It's a reason to go there. And you're there for the festival, but then you get also the flavor of the city as well. And you can determine whether you like it or don't like it. It's up to you. But there's a lot of history there. Not only just history in general, U.S. history, but a lot of foodies like going there because of the different types of food. There is nature around Cedar Rapids. So there's something for everybody there, including RVs, RVers. There's parks, there's museums. They've got it all.
They do.
So it sounds like a really cool place to go and explore, spend a week there or a weekend. If you're passing through Iowa, going someplace else, maybe swing into Cedar Rapids and check it out for yourself. And now they don't have RV parks in Cedar Rapids that I could see. They're around the area, but that's all right. You know, who wants to be in the city anyways? You know, exactly. Be on the outside. Tons of restaurants, like I said, and they have some interesting restaurants. We don't have time to get into all of them. And all that fun stuff. And you can get propane, dump stations, everything you need is in Cedar Rapids, even a good time. So check it out. And we'll have the entire story on our website, thesmartrver.com, so you can get the entire flavor of it without ever even leaving your house.
Right.
How is that?
It's amazing.
That is awesome. Only here at the Smart RVer. All right, so that wraps up Cedar Rapids. And now right next door, there's another town, and it's called Protovent. Now, this is where Alexis grew up. Well, not really. She visited there once. So it has a soft spot in her heart. So
it does.
She's going to share the shadows of the past with us today. In this case, I tore the page out of Grandpappy Popeye's book and gave it to Alexis.
You did.
All right, Alexis, so let's hear what you have to say or what you can share with us about Protovent, Iowa.
All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Towns that once were, we take a quiet detour off the main roads into the rolling farmland of northeast Iowa, a place called Protovent. Tucked just along the border of Howard and Chickasaw counties, Protovent was never a booming metropolis. But it was a proud little town, founded in the 1870s by Czech immigrants, chasing opportunity and freedom, carrying with them their language, their music, and their faith. At its heart stood Holy Trinity Church, its twin steeples rising above the cornfields like a promise. Protovent was the kind of town where families gathered on front porches, children played under the watchful eye of neighbors, and the rhythm of life was marked by harvests, holidays, and polka dances at Sokol Hall. By the mid-1900s, the population hovered around 300. A post office, a few taverns, a general store, it had what folks needed. But time, as always, brought change. Young people left for the cities. Farms grew bigger, but fewer. Businesses shuttered one by one, and the sound of Czech songs gave way to silence. Today, Protovent remains on the map, barely. A few dozen residents still tend their homes, and the church still holds mass, but the town feels more like a memory than a moment. Its high school closed years ago. The baseball diamond sits quiet. And the Sokol Hall? Now mostly used for reunions and remembrance. Still, once a year, life returns.
Check Days, a celebration of heritage and heart, fills the streets with laughter, kolaches, and accordion tunes. For a weekend, Protovin is alive again. But when the tents come down and the visitors head home, Protovin goes back to sleep, its legacy living in its stories, in old photographs, and in the hearts of those who called it home. Because some towns don't vanish at all. They simply fade, like a song in a language we used to know.
Wow, that sounds just like an NPR reading. Wow.
Give it Thank up, you.
That was very nice. So Protovin's a pretty cool place.
Yeah.
Or was.
It was.
Or is.
I love going back. It was.
I don't know why I said. I was thinking of another town. I said was. Yeah. But.
No, it's great. It's very homey there. And man, I actually want to take Cole there because during Czech days, they have bratwurst galore. And the kolaches, which are like this pastry. Czech pastry, it's delicious.
Are they not shoes?
No. I mean, if they're hard enough, you could probably wear them as shoes.
No, they're pastries, and they that's are. A big deal. That's one of their big things.
It is, absolutely.
So Protovin sounds pretty cool.
Yes.
All these little towns have all this rich history. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of rich history in little towns, I'm going to talk about Ogden, Utah for a split second here.
Oh, yeah.
Has nothing to do with Protovin. Nothing like Protovin.
But you were just there.
Ogden is kind of a, well... It's a town. So if you're in Ogden, Utah, or near it, I got to tell you to go to McLaren's Collectibles if you're into antiques and collectibles and stuff. Talk to Neil there. He's the owner. This store is absolutely awesome. It's well-lit, and it's clean, and it's organized.
That's awesome.
Which, you know, a lot of these stores you go into for collectibles and stuff, they're eclectic, to say the least. They're different. But this store, you can see everything. So you're not looking at something. You want to buy it, and you got to take it outside and find out it's really a pile of junk. You can see it in the store. And he has some phenomenal stuff there.
That's
absolutely
awesome.
Phenomenal stuff.
Great.
In fact, that's where we got this radio sitting right
there.
Yeah. Packard Bell. You can't see it if you're listening, but in the video, you'll be able to see it.
It's very cool.
And he has other stuff. I mean, it's just incredible. So you got to go check it out. And that's in Ogden, Utah, McLaren's Collectibles. All right. So now the full article on Cedar Rapids and Protovin will be on the website, thesmartrver.com. I kept calling it Protovin or something.
Provitin.
Yeah, or whatever. Probiotic. I don't know.
You're doing good.
So, but yeah, it's another place to go check out. So we want to thank Alexis for that nice reading today. Very nice. So that brings us into RV Envy. And today we're going to talk about sticky books. Uh-oh, what are sticky books? So, you know, sticky books are these small little books. If you're watching the video, you can see I'm holding one up. And so they're a very quick read. And they have one on starry nights or night skies. Not Starry Nights, Night Skies, one on tracks, which is animal tracks, one on charts. So just to lay this out, if you've ever looked at a chart, like a stock chart, and they got lines and things on it, this book will help you understand what all that stuff means probably within an hour.
That's neat.
I mean, within minutes, you start going, oh, I get this, I get that. You know, it's not so much for investing, but it's understanding how what all that stuff means.
Yeah, sure.
So you can sound like you're a smart investor, even though you're losing all your money.
Right.
Oops, no.
But at least you sound smart.
And so there are books on tracks and night skies are the same way. You'll learn very quickly. It has a little, it's a workbook as well. So you're doing stuff as you go along, and that helps you remember it more. And then they give you tips for memorizing or remembering these things so you just don't forget it all. It's like, you know, a lot of books you read and you forget it.
Yeah.
So they want you to remember it. These books are just absolutely awesome, and you can get them on their website at stickybooks.com. So I highly recommend checking them out, and especially for RVing. You know, you got some downtime.
Yeah.
Waiting, killing some time.
Learn something.
And the night skies and the tracks definitely falls into RVing.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah.
And the charts, yeah, you don't want to become a day trader and lose everything you have. That's not a good thing.
No.
That goes against that money-saving tips.
Yeah.
And that's in RV Envy. And also, I mentioned something about a new air conditioner. And it's the Breeze Onic. Oh, man, I can't pronounce the name of the company that makes it. It's Eberstocken or something. It's a German company. How pathetic is that, right?
It's okay.
But if you Google Breeze Onic, I said the Onic, it's Breeze Onic. Mm-hmm. So this air conditioner is very small. is very compact. You know, you can use it on RVs, vans, Class Cs, van conversions, and it's super quiet and super efficient.
That is super cool.
So if you're trying to run your RV off of an inverter, I mean your AC off an inverter, this is the air conditioning mm-hmm. for you. You know, recently I talked about the Furion air conditioner and it for RVs, and it definitely is a cut above all the others. But this one now is better than the Furion. But it does come with a price tag. You know, you're going to spend well over $2,000 for one of these things. That's just for the air conditioner.
Ooh.
So it's an investment, but it'll probably be worth it. So I haven't touched one yet. I've talked to the company. I'm waiting for some more information. So we're going to check back in on this maybe in the next couple episodes. Barely. Not sure when, but we will come back to it. In fact, we'll probably have them on as an interview.
Cool.
Because it's such a cool air conditioner.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, so that pretty much brings us to the end of the show today. As a reminder, go to our website or go to like iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast and subscribe to our podcast. Share it with others. Go to our YouTube channel and subscribe as well. Keep us out there. Let other people know. We are moving up in the ranks on our podcast rating.
Yes.
We are number 3 on Feedcast, mm-hmm. so we are making some headway in the RV world in our podcast, so share it with others. We're doing something right, and everybody needs to hear about it. All right, so in our next episode is 179. Now, before we stop here, I forgot about this. I brought up the awning in the beginning, blocking the door. So this is a true story. A husband and wife, they're using their RV, they're in a windstorm, and the awning tears off the RV, you know, the arms come off, the awning, now you got to picture this, the awning just falls down, straight down the side of the RV. So they're at an age where now they're trapped in their RV, and I've heard this story, not this story, but similar stories more than once. The door is closed, they can't get out, and now they're older, so, you know, they don't have the physical strength, the stamina to bust out of it. So they actually had to call for help, and someone had to rescue them. So that's pretty bad.
Aww.
So you got to think about that. And I've heard it from other people too, the same thing. I couldn't get out, you know. And then the other windows, you know, you aren't escape windows, and do you really want to jump out of an escape window?
Right.
So kind of think ahead about your awning if it were to happen. You know, it sounds like it would never happen, but it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you can get that door open or window open, you know, make sure you got a knife and you can cut your way out.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get the door open just a little bit and cut a slit from top to bottom,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the starting point. You know, at least you're accomplishing something, because if it happens to you on the side of the road, it might be a while before someone stops or you can get some help. So that's just a real life story. So don't get yourself locked in your RV because your awning failed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. So it's been a great show today. I want to thank everybody for watching and listening. And of course, you can go to our website, and everything we talked about today will be there. So this is Eric Stark with the Smart RVer Podcast, your go-to guide for smarter RVing and unforgettable adventures on the open road.